Seems election officials won't start counting the vote until Wednesday, leaving the voters without an answer as to who is their new president. Voters were divided between conservative Felipe Calderon and leftist Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, both candidates declaring they will respect the results of the vote count, while both are also claiming victory. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice, making it easy to add whole grain to your diet. For delicious brown rice recipes, visit them on the web. Enjoy Mahatma or Carolina Rice. It's good for you.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Hi, this is Jim, and you've reached my cell phone. My piece of junk cell phone. The one that looks like debris from a Cold War Soviet satellite. The cell phone whose ring sounds like a desperate plea to be put out of its misery.
Need a new cell phone? Just visit letstalk36.com. We carry the latest models from all the major carriers, and we'll save you hundreds over store prices.
Hello?
Does your old cell phone make you feel a little outdated? Get a new one at letstalk36.com. Letstalk36.com can save you hundreds over store prices. We even have free phones, like the red-hot Motorola Razr. Get the red-hot Motorola Razr free. Get a new one at letstalk36.com. Letstalk36.com. If you didn't get it here, you didn't get a deal. Two-year service agreement required. Free after $130 mail-in rebate. One-time wireless activation fee and early termination fees may apply.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right, you heard free, and we mean free. Over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-349-2532 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation, convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-349-2532 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 7/29/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-349-2532. That's 1-800-349-2532.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And happy July 3rd. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live on radio stations from coast to coast on Sirius Satellite Radio, RadioPower.org, WhiteRoseSociety.org, AirAmericaRadio.com, CRN Digital. What is the real American? American way. We will, by the way, also be broadcasting live tomorrow, July 4th. We will be doing live shows every day this week, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. I'll also this afternoon be filling in for Randy Rhodes, just as an FYI and a heads up. What is the real American way? I can get into that a little bit here in the first hour. Our quote for the day from Abraham Lincoln: I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts. The real facts. Not the Bush facts, the real facts. What is the real American way? Can you buy happiness, for example? Back in the late 1600s, John Locke, one of the founding writers of the Enlightenment, wrote about life, liberty, and the ownership of private property. That was a radical idea back in the late 1600s, early 1700s. I think 1724 sticks in my head as the year that his second treatise on government was first published. Might have been the year it became a big deal. But in any case, in John Locke's second treatise on government, he talked about life, liberty, and the ownership of private property. As I said, it was a big deal because prior to that time, private property was something that could only be owned by the king or by the feudal lords. Private property could not be owned by the masses, by the average person. The average person had no right to claim land, and in fact, even their possessions were actually considered legally the property of the person who owned the land on which they lived. So Thomas Jefferson looked at this. He says, well, that's all well and good, but you know, let's take this a step further. And let's just replace that private property part with the idea of happiness. Happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Theodore Roosevelt Malick is with us. Ted Malick, he's the author of a new book called Renewing American Culture, The Pursuit of Happiness. Ted, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Great, great. The website, by the way, mmscrivenerpress.com. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Great, great. You suggest in your book that America actually, rather than sliding down a consumeristic downhill slope into some sort of a quicksand of iPods and consumer culture, actually faces the possibility of a renewal, a cultural renewal. What do you mean by that?
Well, we talk about going back to the founders' original notion of the pursuit of happiness and unpacking that really for today's 21st century dynamic global culture. And we think that many of those values are quite resonant and quite powerful. And in fact, the American experiment is attractive to people all over the world. And it would be nice if we could begin to rediscover, and I'm not suggesting we've lost it completely, but rediscover those core American values ourselves.
Recite them for me.
Well, they're in the Declaration of Independence, which of course comes even before the Bill of Rights, and they are, to cite them very briefly, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They really flow out of an Enlightenment tradition that the founders thought highly of, and they wanted human beings to flourish. And that's how and why they designed the system we have.
Now, when Jefferson very intentionally took John Locke's phrase, life, liberty, and the ownership of private property, from Locke's second treatise on government, and changed it to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, he was, in a very real way, rejecting materialism, or at least it's been suggested by some of his biographers, particularly Fawn Brody. I'm curious if you think that we've flipped back. I mean, increasingly, for example, Americans are being referred to in the media and by politicians, not as citizens, but as consumers.
Well, I think there is a critique there to be made, and in fact, it does make us into a kind of homo economicus and reduces us to just these sheer materialist agents that consume goods and products. I'm not suggesting the economy is unimportant. God, I'm trained in economics, and I'll defend property and free markets. But we really need something deeper, something purposeful, something that is visionary to drive us. as human beings, and particularly in our cultures, and cultures shape those around different institutions. So that debate between Jefferson and Franklin, largely, although there were other people involved, about Locke and about the Scottish Enlightenment and about whether property was important or whether this notion of human happiness, my God, is there any place else in the world that would put human happiness on a par with life and liberty?
Yeah, the United States Declaration of Independence was the first founding document of any nation in the history of the world to use the word happiness in it, as far as I know.
I don't think it's been repeated often unless they've followed the American model. And it is attractive when you think about it, but that original notion really has very deep Greek origins as well that have to do with this term, and we unpack this in the book at some length, eudaimonia, which is Aristotelian, and it has to do with people whose characters are rightly fitted, people who know both who they are and how to embody virtue in their lives. So this sense of happiness is not, you know, when you do a poll today and you ask people what is happiness, you come up with some pretty superficial and some pretty silly answers that mostly have to do with instantaneous gratification or some kind of avoidance of pain.
Yeah, it's interesting. In today's Washington Post, on page 2, there's an article, the headline, "Science Confirms You Really Can't Buy Happiness." A wealth of data in recent decades has shown that once personal wealth exceeds about $12,000 a year, more money produces virtually no increase in life satisfaction. And then they looked at Japan over a 25-year period. They looked at a whole series of studies in the United States, from lottery winners to, on and on it goes. The journal Science, the belief that high income is associated with good mood is widespread but mostly illusory. People with above-average incomes are barely happier than others in moment-to-moment experience, tend to be more tense, and do not spend more time in particularly enjoyable activities, and they go on through this. But how do we, as Americans, it looks like our guest has dropped off the line. So, back to the question, how do we, as Americans, recapture these values? How do we come back to this? This is a real challenge. And beyond just the concept of happiness, how do we do it in the concept of democracy? How do we bring democracy into this whole thing? In the face of, for example, down the coast in California, Schwarzenegger's office, the office that's supposed to be protecting us from terrorism, right? Or protecting Canadians, they're checking out animal rights rallies, and like that. Ted Malik, you're back with us.
Yes, I am.
The wonders of live radio here.
Yeah.
Ted, how do we, in this age of insane consumerism driven by the profit motive in every dimension of our media, how do we recapture the core concepts of happiness in outside of a consumeristic context?
Well, I think, we're living in this post-materialist world, and as you cited, we probably need some metrics and some gauges on really how people can experience depth in their life instead of just the volume or the number of things. It's not true, as some trite phrases and sayings suggest, that he who dies with the most toys win. So we really, really, in some ways, need even to change the way we measure things. And economists are largely about that, and I'm not suggesting that we're going to throw away GNP or GDP or anything else, but we really need to include some other measures into how rich our lives are, and when we start to talk and think and then measure those things, maybe they'll be more important to us.
Do you see any trends in that direction?
I do. There are a whole school of economists. And they're really on both sides of the spectrum, interestingly, conservative as well as fairly radical economists who are talking about some of these measures. And you get them even in discussions that have gone on now for over a decade about this notion of sustainability. How do we sustain our lives for our children's children's children? I mean, it really has to do with that kind of longevity.
Yeah, back to the Iroquois constitutional notion.
Notion of wisdom might be a good place to start, Someone told me the other day, a famous anthropologist, that there have been something like 1,500 human societies recorded, all of whom had spiritual or religious direction. And if we went back and looked at some of that, there would be a great deal of wisdom there to recapture.
Well said. Theodore Roosevelt Malik, the book Renewing American Culture, The Pursuit of Happiness, mmscrivenerpress.com. Ted, thanks for being with us today.
Good. thing.
Good talking with you. 16 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Summer's here, and that means lots of disgusting little ants marching through your yard and into your home. Used to be almost impossible to get rid of them, but not anymore. Now there's Grant's Ant Stakes, and they're guaranteed to work. Grant's Ant Stakes are different. They contain a unique baiting system that ants simply can't resist. They eat the bait, they share it with the rest of the colony, and they all die. Total colony elimination. Grant's kills ants. Guaranteed. Look for Grant's at your favorite stores, and take control.
Do you have one of those really good jobs in which your pay is automatically raised every single year by nearly $4,000? And the only way your pay hike can be withheld is if you choose not to accept it. You won't find these jobs in the Help Wanted ads, friends. You find them in Congress. Once again, our Congress creditors have generously bestowed a pay hike on themselves, raising their total annual take to $168,500 apiece. These are the same people who have refused to raise America's poverty-level minimum wage for 10 years and who have shown no concern for the majority of American working families whose wages have not even kept up with the rising cost of living. This month, House members voted for the eighth year in a row to up their own pay. In a little game of political dodgeball, congressional leaders of both parties run an insider scam that makes their pay raises automatic, unless they magnanimously vote to block it. Guess what? They don't. For eight straight years, these statesmen have grabbed the money and run. Speaking of running, both parties' leaders have cut a secret Save the Incumbents pact, agreeing that their candidates will not use the pay raise as an issue in the fall elections. And you thought there was no bipartisanship left on Capitol Hill. Members tried to dismiss the pay hikes as a trivial sum, merely enough to keep them ahead of inflation. Over the 8 years of steady raises, however, these cost-of-living adjustments, as Congress likes to call them, have added a total of $32,000 to their paychecks. That's more than the annual income of most Americans, and it further isolates our Congress critters from the harsh economic reality being faced today by the great majority of people they supposedly represent. This is Jim Hightower saying, shouldn't at least one party be campaigning to bring Congress down to earth, starting with ending this soft cushion of automatic pay raises?
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
The latest news has struck me funny. It's all about greed, boys, and it's all about money.
Well, this great nation is in distress. I've got to get something off of my chest. November's coming and it won't be long. When you cast your vote, please don't vote wrong. Vote away those blues, Republican blues.
Yes, vote away those Republican blues. Welcome back, my friends. What is the real American way? I would submit to you that even more important than having money, beyond a certain threshold, obviously, as Abraham Maslow talked about back in the 1970s when he came up with his hierarchy of human needs, we have to make sure that our fundamental safety and security is taken care of. But when which is one of the reasons why we need a national health insurance program, but that's a whole other rant. But once the core stuff is covered, I mean, I look back over my life and you know, in the 30-some-odd years Louise and I have been married the whole length of my life. I mean, there have been times, there have been years where certainly our income was below the poverty level, and there have been years where our income was very, very good. And when I look back on it, it doesn't seem like any of those years were particularly happier or less happy than others. The quality of happiness seems to have been, if just reflecting on my own life, the quality of my own personal happiness seems to have been a function of really two things. One, the nature of the relationships that I had, you know, how close I was to the people around me and how we were interacting. And two, a sense of mission or purpose. Those times in my life when I was doing something that I really cared about and I'm not talking about making money. I'm talking about doing something that I really believed in, something that I really care. Like right now, I mean, I love doing this radio program because it's something I really believe in. And it makes me happy. Okay, you know, I don't know how else to say it. And I just think that sense of purpose is so vital for us. And I also believe that if you go back and you look at the founding of this country, and you look at the way at the thinking of the people who founded this country, and the writers of the Enlightenment, Locke and Rousseau, whose thinking served as the foundation for this country, you get it that sense of mission and purpose is the fundamental American concept. It is the absolute fundamental American concept. And in the context of that sense of mission and purpose is the belief that we are all in this together, we are all part of this political process called American democracy in a constitutionally limited democratic republic, and that our all-in-it-togetherness has, in a very real way, to do with our being free of fear of the government. This is the core and founding concept of the United States. You go back and you read the Declaration of Independence and you read the list, as we did a week or so ago, you read the list of the complaints that the founders had against the king, against the third George to have ruled England. And many of them are not that different than the complaints that many of us have now against the third George to be president of the United States. And so I would suggest to you that the fundamental American right to happiness, and yes, the right to happiness is laid right out there in the Declaration of Independence, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, is under siege right now by a bunch of paranoid conservatives in the Bush administration. And I believe that they are genuinely paranoid. I mean, in the clinical sense, in the classical sense. Again, as I started to mention in the previous segment, you look at California. The Canadian consulate in San Francisco. Okay, here's the office of the Canadian consulate in San Francisco. Canada allows the hunting of baby seals, right? So a bunch of animal rights protesters showed up outside the Canadian consulate. Turns out that this has been investigated by the California Office of Homeland Security.
These are terrorists. Yes.
Now, that's only half of the weirdness of it. The other half of the weirdness of it is that this report was compiled by SRA International, a private corporation. The state of California is not only, you know, snooping in, for example, a demonstration in Walnut Creek at which U.S. Representative George Miller and other officials spoke out against the war in Iraq. This is from Peter Nicholas's piece in the Los Angeles Times. A Women's International League for Peace and Freedom gathering at the courthouse in Santa Barbara in support of an anti-war protester. Geez, WILPF.org, by the way, their website, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. I spoke at their annual convention this last year. I'm probably in one of these files. Right? And this was outsourced to a private corporation on top of that. And therefore is not subject, private corporations, not subject to the rules and regulations, both federal and state, that say that, you know, government can't be looking into our lives. Because we've pretty much come to the conclusion, you know, as the result of intense lobbying by corporations, private corporations, that private corporations can do things that government can't do, like compile information on us, sell information on us. And so what is the Schwarzenegger administration doing outsourcing to private corporations the power to snoop on people who are protesting against the war? I would say fundamentally depriving us of our right to happiness. It's certainly depriving us of our right to political activity in the United States. 27 minutes past the hour.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. Ant Block keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wine from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Northwest Airline flight attendants have less than 2 weeks to negotiate with airline management under threat of a bankruptcy judge's destruction of their labor contracts. The court has granted Northwest the right to destroy the contract, but it put a 14-day stay on the decision. If the union doesn't reach an agreement, Northwest can impose its terms on the union. As Northwest's flight attendants struggle with that, they're also voting on switching their union representation. That voting ends July 6th. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is seeking to represent the flight attendants, replacing the Professional Flight Attendants Association at Northwest. Pat Friend, AFA-CWA president, says Northwest flight attendants need the resources and experience of her union to get through this difficult time.
Nearly all of the workers at the Port of Oakland are now unionized after more than 200 workers voted in favor of organizing last week. The International Federation of Technical and Professional Engineers will now represent workers who in the past have typically filled the void when other unions at the port have gone on strike. The union represents many employees in management roles at the port. The average salary of the workers joining the union is between $70,000 and $80,000 a year, and they receive full medical benefits. The drive for unionization began more than 6 weeks ago out of concern of a future where non-unionized port workers typically are targeted when it comes time to make budget cuts. Traditionally, union members do not cross the picket lines of other unions, an issue that concerns port management, now that nearly all of the port employees are in labor unions.
Nurses at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in New Jersey are trying to win language in their contract that would protect their union rights from an upcoming expected anti-worker NLRB decision. The nurses want to guard against losing their union rights under the Kentucky River decisions. Employers in that case are trying to get the NLRB to exclude many thousands of workers from union protection by expanding the definition of supervisors.
Pilots at UPS have reached a tentative agreement with the package company on a new contract. The tentative agreement comes after 3 years of strike threats and stonewalling. The union is reporting that the agreement includes work rule changes and improvements to wages and pensions that will expire in 2011. In December of 2005, the pilots had requested that the two sides be released from federal mediation so they would be free to strike. That request was refused. More than 2,500 pilots are represented by the Independent Pilots Association at UPS. Here is today's economic report. Consumer confidence took a hit in May as Americans tightened their belts to pay for rising fuel prices. While spending still grew slightly by 0.4%, the Commerce Department said there are signs of cooling. There was also slower growth in the area of income growth, a sign that tends to correspond with weaker job growth.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
Some people look for saints, for saviors from above. Some people look for justice, or for everlasting life. Whatever way you go, corporations like a track. We'll wait you deep in corporate hell. There ain't no turning back. It's just a shame.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Our program brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. Support a small business in the Macintosh business and doing great stuff. All the latest iPod equipment and more. Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MACS. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, the place where smart people get their news. What is the real American way? Is the American way to allow the pursuit of happiness, particularly when it involves the pursuit of political goals? Or is the American way to crack down on anybody who would ask questions, anybody who would speak out against the government, anybody who would speak out against what's being done by the administration? By the way, the California excesses that I was sharing with you that are documented by Peter Nicholas in the Los Angeles Times this week. He says one account of the meeting is provided in a whistleblower complaint filed by a former high-ranking official in the Attorney General's office, Edward Manavian. Now, the Supreme Court, what was it, 3 weeks ago or so, ruled that this guy is no longer protected. And, in fact, the Los Angeles Times notes Manavian was demoted in February. In his complaint, he said that happened in part because he refused to cooperate with, quote, attempts to violate the civil rights of citizens in the state, end quote. He resigned in April. His complaint is pending, they go on. But I would submit to you that we are back where we were in the late 1960s, early 1970s, under Richard Nixon, with the government snooping into our lives. In fact, we could even go back to the 40s, the 30s, 40s, and 50s, when J. Edgar Hoover was compiling red lists. I mean, these paranoid conservatives trying to destroy the American way. I mean, this is not the real American way. The real American way is peace, liberty, freedom. Yeah, the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law abridging the right of citizens to peaceably assemble and petition their government for redress of grievances, for example. Unless you happen to show up at a Bush rally, right? And then you've got to go to the free speech zone behind the barbed wire fence, behind the cops with the guns. Or so the Bushies would have it. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466. It's Monday, the 3rd of July. And Maureen in Seattle, Washington on the line. Hey, Maureen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. I was getting the tail end of your program on Friday, and it was something that I'd been thinking about for quite a while that has really come through your conversations and guests that you've had on. But one of the things that you were saying is that you were saying, you know, where's the leader of the Democratic Party when we need him? And something that I've been processing is that we have the voices and the words of Thomas Jefferson and Roosevelt and Kennedy and Martin Luther King and et cetera. And it's like right now I think that there's not one person that's going to come forward with a new voice. I believe it's a collective we the people.
That's what it has to be. And in fact, Maureen, I'm not sure what you're quoting that I said, but here's my take on where the Democrats are versus the Republicans. The Republicans are putting it out that it is a good and important thing that an entire party be in lockstep. Like, that's some kind of high value.
Right.
They say, isn't it? And the press is buying this, by the way, because the press is all part of these corporate hierarchies, and corporations are not democratic institutions. They are mini kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, even small corporations. And that's, you know, that's the way they're designed. I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I run a corporation, and it's a mini kingdom. I mean, it only has 3 employees, but there it is. I'm the king. And that's how corporations operate. But that's not how democracies operate.
Right.
Democracies operate by the consent of the governed. And in the workplace, the only democracy that you find is are labor unions. Labor unions are democratic institutions in the workplace. And in the country as a whole, our government is supposed to be a democracy. Now, we have the Republican Party that is being operated like a kingdom, and everybody's saying, oh, isn't that wonderful? The Republicans are all speaking in one voice, and that one voice happens to be the voice of Karl Rove. The Democratic Party, you've got all these different voices saying different things, disagreeing with each other, arguing with each other. You know, is Joe Lieberman a good guy? Is he should Ned Lamont replace him? Blah, 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 blah. I think that's wonderful. I think that the Democratic Party right now, in its, quote, disorganization, end quote, is illustrating the highest values of democracy.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased with it, frankly. Even, it makes me cringe that it doesn't win elections always, and I think that the Democratic Party needs to, in some ways, do a little better job of communication, certainly a better job of portraying the Republicans for the pseudo-fascists or the royalists, let's say, that they are. By fascist, I don't mean the Hitler fascist, I mean the classic Mussolini fascist. But
right.
In any case, I'd be very wary of a single voice saying that it represents the Democratic Party.
I understand that what you're saying, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was just thinking that in terms of a presence of leading us forth, I think that it's the people who have been taking charge, and your voice and others that are out there, the people who are writing books today because of the truth of what's happening, because it's not being investigated through the newspapers and television stations and media. And also what you're saying about the Democratic Party, I think it's almost an inherent genetic piece of it. That
yeah, it's, you know, Will Rogers once said.
Of all of us.
Yeah, Will Rogers once said, I don't belong to an organized political party, I'm a Democrat.
Right.
And
it's all, they're always going to be our voice. And I think that's a quiet strength of the Democratic Party that is many times seen as a weakness. But it means that they embody all of us. And it's easy for the Republicans to be this kind of funneled vision because they want to They want to destroy everything in their path except for what they want.
Because they fundamentally don't believe in democracy. The Republicans fundamentally don't believe in democracy. They believe in hierarchy and kingdom. They believe in the strict father model, to use George, you know, to quote George Lakoff, quoting one of his students. And Democrats actually believe in democracy, by and large. And I think that's a good thing. Maureen, thank you very much for the call. Good to hear from you. Julian in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on WTKG. Hey, Julian, what's up?
Hi. The study that you cited earlier about happiness doesn't be dependent upon economic status, I believe the same study pointed out that when people rise from poverty level up to middle class, there is significant rise in happiness. It's only afterwards.
I quoted that part of the study, in fact. It was, yes.
Yeah.
That was my point. Once the bottom of Maslow's pyramid, once safety and security are taken care of, then more stuff doesn't make people
right.
You know, happier.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, Julian, thanks for making that point. And in fact, you know, here's the lie and the truth. Right. The truth and the lie. Let's do the truth first and then the lie. The truth is. And by the way, the lie is one of the things that's really carrying our culture. The truth is that if you are cold and naked and alone and hungry and outdoors at night in the forest, you are unhappy. I mean, we can all agree on that. You know, cold, naked, hungry, outdoors, what? Unhappy. And somebody brings you in and says, here's some clothes, here's a blanket, here's a fire you can sit next to, here's a bowl of you know, good steaming pea soup or whatever it may be. Here's a meal. Here's a bed you can sleep in. You go from being unhappy to happy in very short order as a consequence of stuff. That's the truth. The lie, then, is, well, if that much stuff is going to make you that happy, twice as much stuff will make you twice as happy. 100 times as much stuff will make you 100 times as happy. 1,000 times as much stuff will make you 1,000 times as happy. 1,000,000 times as much stuff will make you 1,000,000 times as happy. And Bill Gates lives in a state of perpetual bliss. That's the lie. And that's the lie that we all have to be careful not to buy into. As I said, I believe that it is a sense of mission and purpose. It is doing something meaningful with your life. I agree with George Bernard Shaw. He said, I want to be all used up when I die. People say, oh, you're a workaholic. You're doing all this radio and writing all these books. I love it. Terry in Bayou, is that Cocoterie, Louisiana? Terry? Oh, hang on just a second. I thought it pushed
there
the
button. There we go.
There you go, Terry.
You said it right. That was some people say Cocoterie because there's that Cocoterie, Florida, but you said it right.
Great. Hey, Terry, we have about a minute before we have to take a break. What's up?
I want to tell you why I think the administration is acting really paranoid over leftist groups. I think that the longer that this war strains out, the more it kind of drags on, the better the chance that the protests go from peaceful to violent. And that's...
You really think so? I don't think so, because my sense of it is, and I was there in the 60s and the 70s when there was a lot of protests going on. And,
yeah, my generation's never seen anything. I was born in 1980, so...
Yeah, well, I tell you, the fundamental values that the protesters are speaking for are not violent values, and that's why I don't think the protests are going to go violent. Now, I agree with you, however, that the conservatives are afraid that they will become violent because their fundamental values are violent, and we tend to look at other people and see ourselves.
Right.
So that's my take on it. I'm agreeing with you broadly and disagreeing on the specifics, and that is that
but
I don't think...
How hopefully we get the point across?
Say that again?
How else do we get any kind of point across?
Yeah, well, there you go. Terry, thanks a lot for the call. It's good to hear from you. I don't think that the protests will ever become violent, frankly. I certainly hope not. And certainly that's going to be the rationale the right-wingers are going to use. 45 minutes past the hour.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor.
now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Some efforts to breed fish might turn out new generations that are vulnerable to disease. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Government agencies raise a lot of fish in hatcheries that will be released later into the wild. If they don't pay close attention to the genetic makeup of the parent generation, the younger ones might have difficulty surviving and reproducing. Tony Goldberg is a research veterinarian at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He says wild fish often have genetic qualities that give them special advantages in specific bodies of water. Hatcheries often breed fish that come from different places, and Goldberg says mixing up the genetic pools can compromise the survival of the young.
Wild fish, even though they may look the same across broad geographic areas, can be very adapted to their local conditions. A fish from one river system or one lake system may be uniquely adapted to that river and that lake and the ecological conditions there. And if it's then brought into captivity and the progeny of those fish are released somewhere else, then the genes that they bring with them may not be optimal for the new environment.
Goldberg says interbreeding can compromise the offspring. The young fish might have more trouble than native fish surviving in the wild, and they also might be more vulnerable to disease. Goldberg says interbreeding also can weaken the immune system of the offspring.
And because the immune system is such a wonderfully complex system, disrupting the genes in that system, even a little bit, might have far-reaching effects on the ability of an animal to fend off infection.
Goldberg says hatcheries would do well to pay more attention to the origins and genetic makeup of the fish they choose as parents to improve the survival of their offspring. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
If you're a diabetic, you'll want to listen to this message from the Diabetes Line. If you call us today, you may be able to get your testing supplies delivered right to your door with no out-of-pocket costs. We have all the supplies you'll ever need, and getting those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your door is as easy as calling this number. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. If you have Medicare or private insurance, you might be able to get those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your home with no out-of-pocket costs. We even file all the claim forms so you never have to wait for those reimbursement checks. If you're a diabetic and you want testing supplies delivered right to your door, call the Diabetes Line 24 hours a day. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, I've got those blues, Republican blues. Well, I'm a patriot, and that's the fact, but something's wrong with the way that Congress acts. I'm there if it's worth fighting for, but I don't want to fight for curious George Bush and his friends. Sold us this war, till they get those oil fields, they're gonna sell us some more. Well, Katrina came, Katrina went. The money we need has all been spent. New Orleans and Baghdad, it's all the same. And the contracts are written in Halliburton's name. It's the same old blues.
Republican blues. Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Coming up on 9 minutes before the hour, right about now. Place for tuning in is as easy as getting a White House press pass if you're a gay hooker. Indeed. Welcome back to our program. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. By the way, just a heads up, tomorrow we're going to have Greg Palast on. He's suggesting that the elections in Mexico are being rigged and stolen by the right wing in ways very similar to those that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. documented the Republicans did in Ohio and many other states in the United States in the 2004 election and in Florida in the 2000 election. And in some cases by the same people and the same companies, and that's being paid for by, in to some extent, the Republican Party in the United States. We'll get into that in some detail tomorrow. Dave in Brandy, Massachusetts on the line. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's good to talk to you.
Thanks for calling.
Regarding the Bush administration's war on the New York Times, I got as a practical matter, how far do you think the Times should go in pushing back, and what could they do? I mean, I would personally like to see them run a July 4th headline reading Bush administration put up or shut up, but I don't think they're going to go that far.
Yeah.
But in what ways, what tools do they have to fight back with?
Well, I think that this is a swift boating. I mean, they need to be doing what John Kerry should have done when the swift boat Veterans for Truth, came out and started attacking Kerry's service. The fundamental, most startling reality about this is that the Wall Street Journal, in an editorial day before yesterday, no, it must have been Thursday or Friday last week, the Wall Street Journal, in an editorial, came right out and said that the administration gave them this information and wanted it publicized. In fact, I've got the, where did it go? It's in my third hour folder here. I was going to get into this a little later on in the program. But it's really quite startling when you get right down into it. And I think that the New York Times needs to be making a big stink about this.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Listen to this from the Wall Street Journal. I'm quoting now from an editorial in the Wall Street Journal. Quote, at no point did Treasury officials tell us not to publish the information. And while some Wall Street Journal editors knew the Times was about to publish the story, Treasury officials did not tell our editors that they had urged the Times not to publish. What the Wall Street Journal editors did know is that they had senior government officials providing news they didn't mind seeing in print. If this was a leak, it was entirely authorized. End quote. So here you have the Wall Street Journal saying, yes, the administration said to us, please leak this information. And they did. The administration at the same time leaked the same information to the New York Times and said, oh, but please don't publish it, and please put in the story that we asked you not to publish it. So what the administration did was they got the story out, which they wanted to get out. As the Wall Street Journal says, the administration here was saying, you know, we want this story out because it's going to make us look good. It's going to make us look like we're actually doing something against terrorism. At the same time, they set up the New York Times to take a hit. And this is just the worst kind of political pandering, partisan swiftboating.
Well, the way to punch back against the swiftboat campaign is to hit back hard and fast.
Yeah, they're sort of going in that direction. Here is Eric Lichtblau. He was with the New York Times writer. With I believe this is Howie Kurtz. Here's just an audio clip real quick.
Deluge, Bush, Cheney, Congressional Republicans, National Review, Weekly Standard saying that your story damaged national security and undermined a program that is aimed at catching terrorists.
Well, I think we're obviously in the middle of a pretty historic clash between the administration on the one hand and the press on the other, the balance between national security and the public's right to know, and unfortunately we're in the middle of it at the moment.
Now, that's Eric Lichtblau. He's one of the authors, him along with, I believe it was Jim Risen, the authors of this New York Times piece. And the shame of it is that Lichtblau here on Howie Kurtz in the media CNN program is saying, well, this is a battle between the administration and the press about what the people should have the right to know. And apparently he hadn't bothered to read the editorial in the Wall Street Journal, where the Wall Street Journal said, no, this is the information the administration wanted everybody to know. But they just set up the New York Times to be punching bags.
Well, they better bring that out.
Yeah, they should. I mean, this was the only media source that I've seen that has pointed this out, other than the Wall Street Journal itself, oddly enough, on its own editorial page where they essentially bragged about it. The only media source I've seen is a great editorial on BuzzFlash.com that appeared for about a day and a half or so. I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, they're not in the middle of it. They're on the front lines.
Yeah, no. The New York Times is more of the play the refs. This is red meat for the conservatives. This is proof of the liberal bias in the New York Times. And they were set up. They were swift-boated. They were roved. It's a terrible thing. Dave, thanks for the call. Good
to
hear from you. I appreciate it. Mark in Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, Mark, we have about a minute here before we've got to wrap up this hour of the program.
Hey, Tom. You got a great show.
Thank you.
What do you think about the elections in Mexico? And I know you're going to talk about it tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, we're going to, and Greg is going to be, when I'm filling in for Randy Rhodes this afternoon, he's going to be on also. It sure looks to me, if what Greg Palast, the BBC investigative reporter, has uncovered is true, and I have every reason to have confidence in Greg's reporting. He has always, in the past, when he's come out with these bombshells, been proven right later down the road. It certainly seems that, you know, caging, voter suppression, all the right-wing strategies that have been used in the United States to give so-called victories to Republicans when, in fact, more people voted for the Democrats, apparently are being used in Mexico as well. We'll have to wait and see, Mark.
Jimmy Carter's comment?
Jimmy Carter?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Mark.
President Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. It's, you know, I read Jimmy Carter's editorial about openness in government, but I haven't seen his comments on the Mexican elections. I'll have to track it down. I'll take a look for it. It's 57 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Viagra for your brain, not for Limbaugh's, for yours. We'll be back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
I'm Emily Hoffman. If war wasn't hell enough, an Army veteran has been charged with murder and rape for an alleged attack in Iraq. Stephen Green appeared in a federal court in North Carolina today. Military officials say up to five soldiers may be involved in the reported rape and murder of the woman. Three of her relatives were also killed. Dr. Strangelove, are you listening? North Korea says it will respond to a preemptive U.S. military attack with an annihilating strike and a nuclear war. The Korean Central News Agency cites an unidentified newspaper analyst who is accusing the United States of increasing military pressure on the isolated communist state. The stock option sell-off scandals continue to surface. Today's Wall Street Journal reports that there's an accounting discrepancy at M Systems flash disk pioneers. Just last Friday, Redback Networks revealed it is under investigation, and now Delta Petroleum says it is too. More than 50 companies have been caught up in federal inquiries by either the SEC, prosecutors, or both over the timing of executive stock options. The United States is a vulgar, crime-ridden society obsessed with money and led by an incompetent president whose Iraq policy is failing. That's what a majority of people in Britain think, according to a poll in the newspaper The Daily Telegraph. The poll found that only 12% trust the U.S. to act wisely on the global stage. That's half the number who had faith in the Vietnam-scarred White House of 1975. And the poll says it isn't that Britons dislike all Americans, they just can't stand Bush. The poll said 70% like Americans a lot or a little, but 77% call Bush a terrible leader. A crack in foam on the space shuttle's fuel tank could scuttle tomorrow's launch. NASA managers are deciding if the 5-inch-long crack can be fixed. And Joe Lieberman, independent, the Connecticut senator, is scheduled to speak at this hour and is expected to announce that he will begin gathering signatures for a possible independent run this November. He's facing a stronger-than-expected Democratic primary challenge and sagging poll numbers because of his support of the Iraq War. For Air America Radio, I'm Emily Hoffman.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Authentic flavored Mahatma and Carolina Rice mixes are delicious and ready in just 20 minutes. Try some today. Look for Mahatma or Carolina Rice mixes at your local grocer.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey Orkin Man. I think termites are destroying my kid's wood swing set.
Oh, that's not good. What makes you think it's termites?
I don't know. The swings are lower.
But are you sure your kids aren't just taller?
Even the baby's got skin knees.
Oh.
No, my house could be next.
Could be. Those little foragers can travel over 100 feet.
Duh, it's only 30 to the house.
Don't worry. One of our experts can treat these and help prevent more in the future.
Thanks, Orkin Guy.
Man.
Bye, man.
For a free inspection, just call
1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
Update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of totally remodeling. See for yourself. Call 1-800-300-8065 for a free design consultation. Call right now and save $500 on select styles. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So don't replace your kitchen cabinets, reface them. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8065 and save $500 on select styles. Offer ends 7/29/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Custom cabinet refacing from Sears, 1-800-300-8065. Call now at 1-800-300-8065.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
The man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to our program. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Our phone number, 866-440-8466. If you want to drop into our live chat room, go to tomhartman.com. However you spell it, we'll get you there. And just click the live chat link. Conservative programs, sort of like school voucher programs. This is interesting. What's going on in Canada right now? The mommy wars are escalating. Now, Stephen Harper, the new president, or the new, excuse me, prime minister, conservative prime minister of Canada, has kept good a campaign promise. Used to be that the Canadian government was, well, actually they were in the process of putting it together, a program called the Universal Child Care Benefit is his replacement. But what they were doing is putting together a national child care program. In other words, if you were working, if you were one of the, in Canada, 73.5% of women who actually participate in the workplace, and you had children, then you could take your child to a government-run daycare center for free and know that you're, you know, much like public schools, public daycare. This was seen as a public good, as something that would encourage women to participate in the workforce and allow them to do so without having to worry about the cost of daycare for their kids and these kinds of things. Well, just like with public education in the United States, conservatives in Canada figured this should be privatized. And let's do it in a way that's going to basically be a tax break for the upper middle class and the wealthy, those who vote conservative by and large, and it's going to basically screw the average working class person and the poor, those people who tend to vote liberal rather than conservative in Canada. And that's what Stephen Harper has done. This from today's Outlook section of the Wall Street Journal, article by Alina Cherney. The headline, Giving Daycare Cash to Stay-at-Home Parents Sounds Like Politics to Some Canadians. She points out, Mr. Harper's party scrapped a multi-billion-dollar plan by the long-ruling Liberal Party to set up a national daycare system. Instead, the government will start mailing a monthly cash payment of $100 Canadian. It's about $90 U.S., to parents of every child younger than 6 years old. This is called the Universal Child Care Benefit. It's going to be paid to all families. And I'm telling you, this is the same strategy as the conservatives in the United States with the vouchers for public schools. It costs about $5,600 a year to educate a child in the United States in public school. National average, more or less. It's just a little under $6,000. And so the voucher advocates say, well, let's give out vouchers at $2,500. Now, $2,500 is not enough to get a kid into a private school. So working class people and the working poor in the United States can do nothing with that voucher. Or if it were to come in the form of cash, they could, you know, say, gee, thanks for the gift, but not going to help my kids' education. But the upper middle class and the wealthy, who in all probability already were inclined to put their kids in private schools, many of them, they're getting a $2,500 break because this is a voucher that can be used in the private arena, the private schools. Well, Harper's doing much the same thing in Canada. And it's raising all kinds of issues. It's raising the mommy war issue. You know, which is better, more important, more socially appropriate, more, you know, fill in the blank for women to stay at home and watch their kids, or for that matter, fathers to stay at home and watch the kids, or for both parents to participate in the workplace. There's that issue. I'll just put my opinion out here for what it's worth. I'm strongly of the opinion that kids need to be with family when they're growing up. I don't think it necessarily has to be mom and dad. In fact, if you look at most indigenous societies, you find that parents, because childbearing years are also the years that are optimal for hunting and gathering, most indigenous societies, children are actually raised by their grandparents. And I think that's a good and healthy thing. But I think the kids could, you know, they should be being raised by family, and we should encourage that kind of thing. But, you know, in any case, it's raising that issue. The policy, the Wall Street Journal notes today, is creating friction between women, with each group beating up the other group. The biggest beneficiaries from the new program, writes Alina Cherney in today's Wall Street Journal, those who will keep the most money are those who don't need child care to go to work. Yes, you heard that right. I'm telling you, this is how the conservatives do things. They do it in a way that, for the average working person, hey, good luck. Take a jump in the lake, right? But, you know, if you're doing well, here's a little extra money for you. The biggest beneficiaries in the new program, those who will keep the most money, are those who don't need child care to go to work. Not surprisingly, the benefit has prompted debate, writes Alina Cherney. She adds, conservatives are watching to see whether the new plan will undercut a decade-long stream of Canadian women into the workforce. In 1995, 67% of Canadian women were working. Now it's 73%. So there's been a steady increase in women in the workplace. And by cutting back on state-run child care and instead sending $100, $90, $90 U.S. every month to everybody who's the parent of a six-year-old or younger, is this going to cause more women not to participate in the workplace? Or, for that matter, men, although by and large this is being framed as, you know, part of the mommy wars and around women. And I would suggest to you that it may, particularly for those women who are working or whose aggregate income with their husbands, assuming that they're married, and again, keep in mind, about half of, if Canada is like the U.S., about half of all kids in the United States, it's been a while since I've seen these numbers, but my recollection is about half of all kids in the United States are not members of intact families. So you've got a lot of single parents out there. I don't know what the percentage is, but it's not insignificant. Now, she notes here in this Wall Street Journal piece, she says, to be sure, Canada's various tax breaks under the Liberal government weren't designed to get more women to work. Rather, they were intended to ease the tax burden on low and modest income families and to reduce childhood poverty. Now, that's how the Liberals were doing it in Canada. They said, our goal is to reduce childhood poverty. We don't want kids living in poverty. But, writes Elena Cherney in today's Wall Street, isn't this great? Reading the Wall Street Journal, you're reading, you know, the wealthy talking to the wealthy. But that is not, now, it just said, under the Liberal government in Canada, the previous government, not the new government, not Stephen Harper's new government, under the previous government, the tax policies, or the child care policies, were intended to reduce childhood poverty. But that is not a priority for the current government. Political analysts say the new child care payment is one of several policies designed to help conservatives build support among their affluent base as they gird for the next election. You get it? I mean, this is just so, so weird. So weird. In the meantime, here in the United States, we're watching interest rates go up. Brett Cederholm wrote an interesting piece over the weekend. It was published in the Baltimore Chronicle.
He says, if you accumulated money by spending less than you earned, interest means extra income to you. In other words, if you're like George W. Bush and you're born with millions of dollars in the bank, you have a trust fund, and that money is invested in bonds, for example, government bonds, you're getting interest. That's income. So interest rates go up, your wealth goes up, your income goes up. If, on the other hand, you owe money because you've spent more than you've taken in, like, you know, for example, you've bought a house or a car and you've financed it, then interest is an expense. Well, we've now seen the 17th consecutive increase in the expense of interest since June 25th of 2003, when the Fed's fund rate bottomed out at 1%, basically a negative interest rate. You know, lower than the rate of inflation. And Cederholm points out how 5 years ago, in the aftermath of 9/11, now this is conventional wisdom. In the aftermath of 9/11, we're going to try and stop a disaster. No, I would say it was in the aftermath of George W. Bush getting installed as President of the United States by the Supreme Court and instituting conservative economic policies that pretty much everybody, every economist, everybody in business knew were going to crash the American economy. And in fact, it started right after he became president, long before 9/11. And that's why Greenspan was cranking up liquidity. Lots and lots of cheap money. Well, what's going to happen when the cheap money goes away? And what impact is that going to have on working families? 16 minutes past the hour.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Do you have one of those really good jobs in which your pay is automatically raised every single year by nearly $4,000? And the only way your pay hike can be withheld is if you choose not to accept it. You won't find these jobs in the Help Wanted ads, friends. You find them in Congress. Once again, our Congress critters have generously bestowed a pay hike on themselves, raising their total annual take to $168,500 apiece. These are the same people who have refused to raise America's poverty-level minimum wage for 10 years and who have shown no concern for the majority of American working families whose wages have not even kept up with the rising cost of living. This month, House members voted for the eighth year in a row to up their own pay. In a little game of political dodgeball, congressional leaders of both parties run an insider scam that makes their pay raises automatic, unless they magnanimously vote to block it. Guess what? They don't. For eight straight years, these statesmen have grabbed the money and run. Speaking of running, both parties' leaders have cut a secret Save the Incumbents pact, agreeing that their candidates will not use the pay raise as an issue in the fall elections. And you thought there was no bipartisanship left on Capitol Hill. Members tried to dismiss the pay hikes as a trivial sum, merely enough to keep them ahead of inflation. Over the 8 years of steady raises, however, these cost-of-living adjustments, as Congress likes to call them, have added a total of $32,000 to their paychecks. That's more than the annual income of most Americans, and it further isolates our Congress critters from the harsh economic reality being faced today by the great majority of people they supposedly represent. This is Jim Hightower saying, shouldn't at least one party be campaigning to bring Congress down to earth, starting with ending this soft cushion of automatic pay raises?
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing?
On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt-cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder. Millions of jobs are being exported. And now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
That's right, it's one of my favorite songs. Back home, home on the range. Oh, give me a home where no liberals roam and the folks all think the same way. Where each house has a gun, a big caliber one, and strangers are told, make my day. Home, home on the range, where the beer and the cantaloupe lay, where seldom is heard a three-syllable word or so, then it's one I can say.
And welcome back. 22 minutes past the hour. That's interesting. What? How do you think in the United States we should deal with the issue of people needing daycare? This is fascinating, what's going on in Canada. And, you know, as I getting into the whole issue of interest rates, the bottom line of that is that that's cutting into the wealth, the income of many working class families. As their interest rates go up on their mortgages, as interest rates go up, generally expenses are getting greater. People are more and more having to work, more and more spouses, in most cases women, in some cases, you know, men. Or if in a same-sex couple, it could be either one. But more and more spouses are going to be forced into the workplace as interest rates go up. Should we have universal child care in the United States? I think we should. I think it's fundamentally a good thing. Or even better, I think that we should figure out a way to support families in caring for their kids, but not the way that Harper is doing it in Canada, not by just saying, well, here's $100 a month. That makes no sense to me at all. So, you know, do you have a solution? Do you have an idea, a thought? The way that this is being done in Canada, it's just, as they said, the previous government in Canada, the Liberal government, had organized this national child care system so that parents could work, or even single parents could work, and know that their kids were safe during the day. I'd say particularly single parents could work and know that their kids were safe during the day. As the Wall Street Journal notes today in an article by Alina Cherney, they were intended to ease the tax burden on low and modest income families and to reduce childhood poverty. But that, writes the Wall Street Journal, is not a priority for the current, I would add, conservative government. Political analysts say the new child care payment is one of several policies designed to help conservatives build support among their affluent base as they gird for the next election, which could come within the year. They go on to add, though they won more seats than any of the other three parties in last January's election, the conservatives don't have a parliamentary majority, and so-called minority governments in Canada typically last only about 18 months. So, you know, how's this shaking out? Where is this going to take us? And at the same time, here in the United States, what are we doing for our kids? Well, what we're doing for our kids, you ever hear is Cobblestone Magazine? This is a magazine that's directed toward 9 to 14-year-olds. This is from the Associated Press. This is what we're doing for our kids in the United States. Parents and teachers are complaining that the latest issue of a popular magazine for preteens amounts to little more than an early recruitment pitch for the United States Army. Cobblestone Magazine, which is put out by Caras Publishing in Peterborough, is aimed at children ages 9 to 14 and is distributed nationwide to schools and libraries. Its latest issue features a cover photo of a soldier in Iraq clutching a machine gun and articles on what it's like to go through boot camp, a rundown of the Army's, quote, awesome arsenal, end quote, and a detailed description of Army career opportunities. Most controversial has been a set of classroom guidelines that accompany the magazine, which suggest teachers invite a soldier, Army recruiter, or veteran to speak to their classes and ask students whether they might want to join the Army. One of the teaching guides written by Mary Lawson, a teacher in St. Cloud, Florida, suggests having students write essays pretending they're going to join the Army. Have them decide which career they feel they would qualify for and write a paper to persuade a recruiter why that should be their career. So in Canada, they're saying, well, let's see how we can help out single parents or families where the second both parents have to work, how we can help them out with their child care expenses. And in the United States, we're shoving join the Army down the throats of our kids. And it's like, what has happened here? What has happened here? Managing editor Lou Wierenska said the magazine did not intend to recruit for the Army, but will consider future issues in light of the criticism, which has been greater than for any previous issue. Yeah. Francis Lunny, a sixth grade English teacher in Hudson, Mass. Now, see, this is the U.S. way of dealing with kids, right? Cannon fodder! Francis Lunny, sixth grade English teacher, she says some of the teachers were like, holy cow, look at this! And Francis called the publishing company to complain. He told the Boston Globe that the guides looked exactly like the official recruiting material distributed at high schools. On the other hand, Virginia Shoemaker, a retired teacher and manager at the History Center in Ithaca, New York, wrote one of the classroom guides. She defended the magazine, saying, hey, joining the military is a career option for any child. She said, that doesn't suggest they should or should not. In the magazine, I felt they gave a wonderful portrayal of jobs that are not what everyone thinks of when they think of the Army. It wasn't intended to offend anyone. I don't have the magazine in front of me. My guess is it doesn't show pictures of blown-up soldiers, people with their arms blown off or their legs blown off. It doesn't talk about killing as a career responsibility. 27 minutes past the hour.
Get the good stuff.
The only thing better than getting the good stuff is winning the good stuff. So stop into a participating Napa Auto Parts store and register to win a huge Napa Orange County Choppers 100-quart cooler. This monster will hold up to 120 cans of your favorite beverage. And while you're in there, you can also enter to win a custom-built Napa OCC chopper. But as they say, you won't win if you don't enter. So stop into your local Napa Auto Parts store and enter today. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. Ant Block keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
A good news story from AliveGoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms, and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AliveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Northwest Airline flight attendants have less than 2 weeks to negotiate with airline management under threat of a bankruptcy judge's destruction of their labor contracts. The court has granted Northwest the right to destroy the contract, but it put a 14-day stay on the decision. If the union doesn't reach an agreement, Northwest can impose its terms on the union. As Northwest's flight attendants struggle with that, they're also voting on switching their union representation. That voting ends July 6th. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is seeking to represent the flight attendants, replacing the Professional Flight Attendants Association at Northwest. Pat Friend, AFA CWA president, says Northwest flight attendants need the resources and experience of her union to get through this difficult time.
Nearly all of the workers at the Port of Oakland are now unionized after more than 200 workers voted in favor of organizing last week. The International Federation of Technical and Professional Engineers will now represent workers who in the past have typically filled the void when other unions at the port have gone on strike. The union represents many employees in management roles at the port. The average salary of the workers joining the union is between $70,000 and $80,000 a year, and they receive full medical benefits. The drive for unionization began more than 6 weeks ago out of concern of a future where non-unionized port workers typically are targeted when it comes time to make budget cuts. Traditionally, union members do not cross the picket lines of other unions, an issue that concerns port management now that nearly all of the port employees are in labor unions.
Nurses at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in New Jersey are trying to win language in their contract that would protect their union rights from an upcoming expected anti-worker NLRB decision. The nurses want to guard against losing their union rights under the Kentucky River decisions. Employers in that case are trying to get the NLRB to exclude many thousands of workers from union protection by expanding the definition of supervisors.
Pilots at UPS have reached a tentative agreement with the package company on a new contract. The tentative agreement comes after 3 years of strike threats and stonewalling. The union is reporting that the agreement includes work rule changes and improvements to wages and pensions that will expire in 2011. In December of 2005, the pilots had requested that the two sides be released from federal mediation so they would be free to strike. That request was refused. More than 2,500 pilots are represented by the Independent Pilots Association at UPS. Here is today's economic report. Consumer confidence took a hit in May as Americans tightened their belts to pay for rising fuel prices. While spending still grew slightly by 0.4%, the Commerce Department said there are signs of cooling. There was also slower growth in the area of income growth, a sign that tends to correspond with weaker job growth.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, I'm Robert Wagner with an important message for homeowners 62 years or older. If you own a home, you may be able to pay off your current mortgage or access the equity in your home without making any monthly loan payments. That's right, no monthly loan payments. A U.S. government-insured reverse mortgage allows you to convert the equity in your home into cash, giving you the financial independence you deserve. The tax-free proceeds won't affect Social Security or Medicare benefits, and you can use the money for almost any purpose you desire. The Senior Lending Network program has prepared a free educational video that explains how a reverse mortgage works, how to qualify, and how you can supplement your income without any monthly loan payments. If you're a homeowner 62 years or older, your free video is waiting. So call now.
For a free educational video from the Senior Lending Network on reverse mortgages, call 800-995-4290. 800-995-4290.
Senior Lending Network is a program by Mortgage Warehouse, a licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. Caller's information will be shared with lenders who are members of the program. Consult your tax advisor regarding tax implications.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
Let me say thank you to those who love money. Let me say thank you to those who still play fair. Hallelujah, the meek shall inherit. Let me say thank you to all you people out there.
Welcome back. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio. It's the Tom Hartman radio program defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here. Wherever and however you may happen to be listening to us. Gary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WPTT. Hey, Gary, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom.
It's outrageous. You know, you hit a real fundamental theme today. You've hit it before, but I don't think you've hit it more than it's my own one that I think about a lot. It's outrageous what the Republican Party, how it's divided America the last 26 years here. It's just absolutely outrageous. I have a few thoughts of what you were talking about, then I'll hang up and you can elaborate on them. You know, here's how I look. Here's my thought. It's my own thought. Here's how I look at America now in conjunction with what you just said. America's not really that happy, if you will, or healthy, in the sense that to be happy and healthy, I think one has just to have the right measure between having too little and too much. And right now, as you've noted, and I've always said this, that I believe wealth undermines democracy. And that's what I really believe is the
well,
really
to,
at the
to quote
heart
Jefferson,
of it.
Extreme wealth. Thomas Jefferson said,
"Well, that's what we have."
Wealth, when wealth becomes so great that it can jeopardize the state, then it should be subject to what he called the law of equal inheritance. In other words, a so-called death tax.
Yeah, and I took it for granted. That's what I meant. The ravages between extreme poor and the extreme extreme.
I mean,
this is
what Warren Buffett got, and it just amazed me yesterday watching on TV that clip, mm-hmm. and you probably saw it too, Gary, or maybe you did. I don't know where this reporter stands up, and here's Warren Buffett in the room, and he's just announced that he's giving away $30-40 billion, and each of his kids are getting well over $1 billion. It's not like they're all doing poorly. For the next seven
it's
generations.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, for the next seven generations, at least, none of them are going to have to work, or they'll be able to, pursue whatever thing they want to pursue. But anyhow, this reporter gets up and he says, "Mr. Buffett, I just want to know what your children did wrong to cause you to do this." And Buffett is like, "Huh?"
Yeah.
And, he's like, "I don't believe in the idea of inherited wealth." He was expressing the perception, the worldview that was held by the founders of this country. They did not want to have another landed gentry. Yes, it's great that people can make money. It's great that they can make so much money that they,
and
seven generations down the road, never again have to work, or even more than seven generations.
But
to concentrate so much wealth that it could overthrow the state, I mean, you've got, the Walton family funding these Swift boat veterans attacks. I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah, well, I submit this also, and we all know this. This isn't deep thinking. What happens? What's naturally happened to a human being when they get extreme wealth? Very few men and women alive, they could become cockier and cavalier. They're not bad people, but they become very cavalier and insensitized to really what the vision, like your show suggests, vision of America should really be.
Gary, respectfully, I don't think that it's getting the wealth that causes that. No, I don't. And here's why.
Why?
Because I've known a lot of people in my life who have a lot of money, and I've known a lot of people who are in the process of getting a lot of money. I've worked with them. I've known them socially. I know them personally. And what I see is that there's a small subset of our population of people who, in my opinion, have obsessive-compulsive disorder, and the object of their obsession and compulsion is not washing their hands after they touch doorknobs. The object of their obsession or compulsion is money.
Did you ever ask them how they feel on a turn of subject here? The biggest clue, the biggest, if you pull back the curtain, the biggest example is the minimum wage. How many people that you're suggesting, I'm just going to guess, I don't have no facts, I really feel in my gut how many of these people, and you're right, they're good people, I know rich people, that blah, 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 but overall, it's still in America, it's this extreme wealth that is undermining the process.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm saying that it is a small number of people. I mean, as Alex, our board up in New York, who just points out, Andrew Carnegie thought it was immoral to bequeath fortunes to your kids, and he, gave away most of his money. And thanks,
Look
Alex.
Look at the minimum. I'll leave you, and I appreciate the time. Look at the minimum wage. That's a classic example. They couldn't get it through the committee for 10 years now. Now I'll bet you what's going to happen. You watch just before the elections. All of a sudden, it'll get through the committee.
Right, but they'll do it in a way that wipes out the middle class. In any case, Gary. Thanks for the call. That, Gary, is an issue of ideology. Not so much greed. And I think that we need to separate these because there are people, there are the Grover Norquists of the world out there who may be frankly, I think, emotionally or mentally stunted. I don't want to call them mentally ill, but at the very least, like stuck in some very immature phase, and perhaps out of a neurotic need for something that is being translated into a need for money, where accumulating money becomes the only thing in their life. And in my experience is that that's actually a very small percentage of very wealthy people. It's a very small percentage. And that small percentage of really and truly nutty people are inflicting their sociopathy or whatever you want to call it on the rest of society. And I think it's tragically, and doing harm to themselves and to the rest of us, in my opinion. And I think that it's unfair to, and inaccurate, frankly, to say that this is a function of wealth, or to say, as you did, Gary, that when people get money, they become like this. I don't think so. I think that some people who have a lot of money got that way because they started out with that particular type of, you know, mindset. It reminds me of a story that Robert Wolf writes about, as I recall. Maybe he just told it to Louise and I when we visited him in Hawaii. Robert Wolf is a brilliant guy. He's a PhD in psychology and sociology. He's quite elderly now. He was in the 1940s. He was a psychologist for the Malaysian government. And they sent him into this tribe, the Senoi, SNG'OI. They sent him into this tribe of hunting-gathering people who lived in the jungle to find out what was psychologically wrong with them, because they had offered the Senoi a job of cutting rubber trees. And these were hunting-gathering people who had, I mean, basically the only metal they had was you know, the occasional knife handle, and said, you know, well, hey, we'll give you all kinds of cool stuff, and we'll build houses for you, and you can have goodies, and you can have TVs, and all those kinds of stuff. And all you have to do is work in the rubber plantations. And the Senoi said, no, thanks. We'd rather just, you know, hang out here in the jungle. And so Robert went in to find out what was wrong with them, and became so blown away by what he learned from spending several years with these people that he wrote a book about it called Original Wisdom, which is in print right now. In fact, I wrote the foreword for the current edition of it. And it's just an amazing book. If you go over to Amazon.com, and you can either search on my name or search on Robert Wolf with two Fs, and you'll find Original Wisdom, or just type in Original Wisdom for that matter. And Robert told me the story, as I recall, that goes something like this. He was standing there talking with a couple of people from the community, and this guy is like hiding behind a tree nearby. And then the guy, like, you know, in a bad Roadrunner cartoon, the guy runs from that tree to another tree to get a little closer to where they're standing and talking, you know, tiptoeing and running, and then he hides behind the next tree. And then he runs to the next tree. And this guy's like, while they're standing here having this conversation, this guy is, in a rather conspicuous fashion, hiding behind tree after tree, trying to get closer and closer to them, like listening in on their conversation. And finally, Robert says, who is that guy? And one of the people he's talking to says, oh, he's our thief. He's your what? Oh, he's our thief. Well, what do you mean? What do you do? He says, well, you know, he steals things from us. Well, what do you do about that? Once a month or so, we all go over to his house and we take our stuff back. And that was the conversation. Hey, he's our thief. Well, see, in our society, that person has been, because we've set it up so that it's possible to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, particularly using the corporate form, particularly with the changes to the laws around corporations since the 1880s, specifically since 1886, and the charter mongering era of the late 1880s and the 1890s that allowed corporations to live forever. Because prior to the 1890s, prior to John Rockefeller being busted by the state of Ohio, corporations had to expire at the end of 20, 30, or 40 years in every state of the union. But because of this unlimited ability to accumulate wealth, we've seen families using this, individuals using this, in ways that they have become like Robert's thief, you know, or like that the Senoi community's thief. And I think it's important that we as Americans look back at our values, particularly over this 4th of July weekend. Here we are live. We're doing a live program today. We will be live tomorrow as well, by the way, on the 4th of July. Look back at our values and the values on which this country was founded. And in fact, did you know the first person in the United States, there were some millionaires before the Revolutionary War, the Johnson family, for example, out in the Hudson Valley. They had a huge castle on the Hudson River. They had, you know, 100 slaves, servants working there. Some of them were slaves. Some of them were, they brought in from other countries. Fabulously wealthy. After the Revolutionary War in 1776, through the early 1780s, they fled to Canada. Most of the, well, virtually all of the truly wealthy in the United States were British, you know, who went back to England or to Canada after the Revolutionary War. The first American, after the signing of the Constitution in 1787, the first American to accumulate $1 million in today's dollars, the then equivalent of $1 million in today's dollars, was in the late 1790s. It was very rare. We weren't about being a landed gentry. We were about being a freed people. 45 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Some efforts to breed fish might turn out new generations that are vulnerable to disease. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Government agencies raise a lot of fish in hatcheries that will be released later into the wild. If they don't pay close attention to the genetic makeup of the parent generation, the younger ones might have difficulty surviving and reproducing. Tony Goldberg is a research veterinarian at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He says wild fish often have genetic qualities that give them special advantages in specific bodies of water. Hatcheries often breed fish that come from different places, and Goldberg says mixing up the genetic pools can compromise the survival of the young.
Wild fish, even though they may look the same across broad geographic areas, can be very adapted to their local conditions. A fish from one river system or one lake system may be uniquely adapted to that river and that lake and the ecological conditions there. And if it's then brought into captivity and the progeny of those fish are released somewhere else, then the genes that they bring with them may not be optimal for the new environment.
Goldberg says interbreeding can compromise the offspring. The young fish might have more trouble than native fish surviving in the wild, and they also might be more vulnerable to disease. Goldberg says interbreeding also can weaken the immune system of the offspring.
And because the immune system is such a wonderfully complex system, disrupting the genes in that system, even a little bit, might have far-reaching effects on the ability of an animal to fend off infection.
Goldberg says hatcheries would do well to pay more attention to the origins and genetic makeup of the fish they choose as parents to improve the survival of their offspring. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
We Icelanders live longer than you Americans and have the world's lowest rate of heart disease, stroke, and high blood pressure. What's our secret? It's omega-3 fish oil from the clean, cold waters of Iceland. And now our powerful omega-3s are available in America. Omega-3s that have twice the power of most omega-3s. And you can get a bottle of it from Iceland Health for free.
As a result of taking Iceland Health, my blood pressure has dropped tremendously.
I feel more flexible and I feel like my energy is up.
Besides a healthier heart, our omega-3s can improve memory and energy and have powerful benefits for skin and joints. Find out how to get a free bottle and feel the difference for yourself. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Iceland Health Omega-3 made me feel 100% better.
The secret to a healthier heart is out. Get your free bottle of omega-3 by calling 1-800-406-3375. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
For the safety of our homeland, I think we've been through this before. Sent our kids to die in Vietnam to keep the commies from our door. Now they tell us there's a way to win. Mixed messages are clear. Stand your breath and watch your back. Oh, live your life in fear. If I told you once, must have told you twice. The last thing you're looking for is their advice. Truth.
And welcome back for your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity. Tom Hartman here with you. 9 minutes before the hour, our telephone number toll-free all across the United States, 1-866-440-8466. Armin in Bradenton, Florida on the line. Hey, Armin, welcome to the program. Happy 4th of July, Armin.
Yeah, you too, Tom. I really appreciate you, and I just love your intellect.
Well, thank you, Armin. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your listening all these years and calling.
And I'm so terribly sorry about your father to have such a son like you that is as decent and honorable as you are. Your dad must have been one heck of a human.
He was. He was a very good man. Thank you, Armin. What's up?
Well, now for the other side. I sort of have leanings of disagreeing with you about the intentions of the majority of people of wealthy being not of a malicious nature in their acquisition of wealth. And here's why. Because if the minor party has such force, as they have, according to your formation of the formula, you know, in numbers, then the majority of these wealthy people that don't have those same beliefs, those obsessive compulsive beliefs, would have never allowed such a small group to run this country in such a terrible manner and fashion, and totally, without question, try to destroy the leverage of the common people of this country to withstand the abuses and overbearing reach of the wealth.
Well, first of all, I'd say, Armin, this isn't a matter of beliefs. I think this is a matter of probably brain chemistry, but you know, obsessive compulsive.
No, I agree with your.
But I think you're overlooking the fact that there are a lot of people of wealth and of considerable wealth in the United States who, in fact, arguably the two richest men in the United States, who are committed to doing a lot of good things and, in many ways, to disposing of that wealth. I mean, you got Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. I mean, look at what Warren Buffett just did. Here's the second richest guy in the United States, one of the richest guys in the world, just gave away most of his money.
But see, now you're taking a minor number. There's just two individuals. My point is that you made the point of saying to that gentleman that called, he thinks that wealth makes people inherently bad, or not inherently, that's not the correct word, but that wealth accumulation can turn good people bad. And you said basically that the majority of the wealthy are good people. It's just the minor group like Norquist and the people with that obsessive compulsive mindset that hang, you know, some of the ones that hang around Bush that are in his administration, that the only thing they care about is the numbers. And my thing is, if it's true, I say it's a theory, because if it's true, I know how Washington works, and so do you. It works. Money.
Sure, but by and large, Armin, it's not the people. I mean, if we're talking people of wealth, we're talking people who have, you know, assets, net worth, thing in the bank, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, thousands of millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And those are not, by and large, the people who are in Washington, D.C. playing the games. Most of the people who are in Washington, D.C. playing the games, the lobbyists, the people who are the hustlers out there, the Grover Norquists of the world, they're people who are starting out with,
but,
you know, maybe a few hundred thousand bucks in
the
bank.
But it's the wealth of the combined group, both segments, the obsessive, compulsive, inherently malicious natured people, and the ones that are supposedly the decent, benevolent people of wealth that have...
Well, here's the fundamental question for you, Armin. Do you think that that the acquisition of wealth causes people's fundamental and basic personality to change. I mean, my point is, I don't think it does. I think that, you know, people are decent people or they're nutty people, regardless of how much money they have.
I think what you're saying is you're saying that there's an, for a better description so people can understand, there's an inherent chemistry in all of us, and it becomes more apparent, and the magnification by the wealth doesn't justify the painting with a broad brush that all people of wealth accumulation are inherently bad. And I agree with that principle, but my point to take it further, I think, is that if these our whole system, it's even more paramount with Bush up there, that money talks.
Yeah, and the system has been set up and skewed to help those people who have the psychopathology I think I continue to believe is the minority of very wealthy people.
Listen to me. If you sit back when you have the power at different levels of our society, when you're enlightened and educated and you're aware of things that are wrong, you're just as guilty as some of the perpetrators. That's why the guy in the getaway car gets the same time as the guy robbing the bank. The point is this. The point is that I don't think these people are so benevolent as you say they are, because they have so much wealth, they could buy so much time collectively on the media.
No, what I'm saying is that there's no these people. We're all in this together, and I don't, in my experience, people acquiring money doesn't fundamentally change their core personality, their core values.
I disagree to the degree that you wanted here to the purity of the differentiation.
No, I'm just telling you what I've observed in my life. I mean, I've been on this planet over 50 years, and I know a fair number of people who've gone from basic working class to being millionaires, and they're still decent people.
Listen to me. How can you say that people are decent when people are starving to death in the world, and these people have...
Well, there's a lot of people trying to do a lot about that, Armin. All righty. Well, we'll just have to leave it there because we're out of time. But Armin, thanks for the call. It's always thought provoking. I appreciate hearing from you. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe wealth does corrupt people. I mean, that was the core message of, remember the old Millionaire TV show where, you know, the guy gave away $1 million every week, and the way every single episode ended was a total meltdown of the person who got the money. It's the same as the studies that they've done on people who are big lottery winners. They melt down. They fall apart. It doesn't, not only does it not produce happiness, it produces misery. 57 minutes past the hour. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Were you lucky enough to get an iPod for Christmas? If you did, now maybe you need some accessories. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics. We're the largest Apple dealer in New England, and we've got iPod accessories coming out of our... Oops. We've got a lot of iPod accessories, like the Small Dog Groove Cube, a portable pair of speakers for your iPod, which cost only $29.95, or the HipPod, a hip-attaching carrying case with external speakers for $25. Stay warm this winter in a Burton iPod jacket. For the family, maybe it's time for a home theater system. We bundle a Mac Mini, THX sound system, and an LCD projector. It's adjustable up to 300 inches diagonal for only $1,400.
Visit smalldog.com or call them at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-MACS. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own. And thanks to Inventec, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventec. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
I'm Emily Hoffman. Joe Lieberman, Iraq War casualty. 6 years ago, he was his party's vice presidential candidate. But now, because of his support of the war, the Connecticut senator could lose next month's Democratic primary. He says if so, he'll collect signatures to run as an unaffiliated candidate, an independent. Lieberman is being challenged in his bid for a fourth Senate term by Democratic businessman Ned Lamont. He's called Lieberman a Republican lapdog who strayed from his Democratic roots. Both of Mexico's presidential candidates are declaring victory before supporters and on their websites. Officials say the election is still too close to call. A chilling account of atrocities in Iraq has been filed, along with charges against a veteran American soldier. In an affidavit, the FBI special agent writes that Stephen Green and three other soldiers conspired to rape a woman living near their duty station. The document says the soldiers changed clothes to avoid detection, and then once at the woman's house, Green allegedly took three members of the family into a bedroom and killed them. War has been good for Lockheed Martin, courtesy of George Bush, and now he's done it again. The Bush administration says that it plans to sell Pakistan up to 36 advanced F-16 fighter jets built by Lockheed Martin in a weapons package that could be worth more than $5 billion. The State Department says the airplanes will be used in the so-called war on terror. Pakistan's arch-rival India is not happy with this news. Uncle Sam wants your preteen, and Cobblestone Magazine wants to help. The latest issue of the magazine that's aimed at preteens and is distributed to schools and libraries nationwide, along with teaching guides, features a cover photo of a soldier in Iraq clutching a machine gun and articles on what it's like to go through boot camp, a rundown of the Army's awesome arsenal, and a detailed description of Army career opportunities. Parents and teachers are complaining that Cobblestone amounts to little more than an early recruitment pitch for the Army. And a crack in foam on the space shuttle's fuel tank could scuttle tomorrow's launch. NASA managers are deciding if the crack can be fixed. For Air America Radio News, I'm Emily Hoffman.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Only the finest jasmine rice is good enough to become Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice. It's a gourmet treat you'll love. Try Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice tonight.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company.
What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show, absolutely, without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECOWINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans that suffers from acne or knows a friend or a loved one suffering, please turn up your radio and take down this life-changing information. Introducing Epiclear, the revolutionary new advanced skin treatment imported from Europe, formulated to help get rid of pimples and prevent further breakouts. Great for all ages and most skin irritations, Epiclear is doing something that no other acne treatment formula has ever done. Ever. We're so confident that Epiclear will clear up your skin that we're willing to let you try it for free. That's right. You heard free. And we mean free. over a $70 value delivered without a prescription right to your house.
Call now while free supplies last at 1-800-701-3026. Nothing to risk and everything to gain. Call Epiclear at 1-800-701-3026. That was 1-800-701-3026. Limit one order per household, please. Call 1-800-701-3026. Shipping and handling not included.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the radio support group of, by, and for We the People of the United States of America. Tom Hartman here with you, 6 minutes past the hour, the third hour of our program, live Monday, the 3rd of July. We will also be live tomorrow, Tuesday, the 4th of July, right here. And time now to take a look at what's going on with the occupation of Iraq.
I want to know who the men in the shadows are. I want to hear somebody asking them why. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are. But they're never the ones to fight and to die. And they're alive in the balance.
Dateline Baghdad, several mortar rounds, this all from Reuters over the last 24 hours. Several mortar rounds landed in a crowded market in the Shahab, northern district of Baghdad, wounding 10 people. In Mosul, 5 people, including a policeman, were killed, and 28, including 4 policemen, were wounded when a car bomb went off in a crowded market in the northern city of Mosul. In Baghdad, a U.S. soldier died on Sunday when his vehicle was hit by an explosion during a combat patrol north of Baghdad. In Anbar province, a U.S. Marine died on Monday due to enemy action while he was in a military operation. In Baghdad, Iraqi police and U.S. forces killed one insurgent and detained 15 others after being attacked on Saturday night in central Baghdad. In Dinan Aya, gunmen killed 2 alcohol traders near their houses in the southern city of Dinan Aya. In Hawija, the Iraqi army freed 2 Iraqi soldiers held as hostages. Also in Hawija, Iraqi police found a beheaded body in that town. Dateline Baghdad, this is from the United Press International. Baghdad's morgue has run out of room to store bodies as more victims of smoldering violence in the Iraqi capital are delivered. More than 100 bodies are being held at room temperature because morgue refrigerators are full. The morgue has received 8,000 bodies so far this year. And we are right now at the halfway point of this year, compared with 10,150 bodies for the whole of last year. 8,000 bodies so far this year. The U.S. military, however, says the number of Iraqi civilians killed by coalition forces is down sharply so far this year compared to last year. Well, it could be that if that's true, and I doubt the... I was going to say, I doubt that the U.S. military would lie about it, but frankly, I do, because it's the kind of thing that can be verified. Then the obvious conclusion is that what's going on is a civil war. And a lot of these bodies are showing up as a consequence of the civil war, of the ethnic cleansing and the absolute terrible violence that's going on inside Iraq. And finally, Senator John Warner, related to the occupation of Iraq, Senator John Warner, the Republican from Virginia, said Friday, this from the New York Times, that he was not sure that Congress should pass legislation to create new military tribunals for terror suspects, a stance that has raised doubts about prospects for a White House plan to establish an alternative to the commission struck down this week by the Supreme Court. My prediction? That John Warner is doing the same thing Arlen Specter has done. The Republicans, you know, it comes out that the Bush White House has done something criminal, illegal, or at the very least unethical. And Specter, for example, will get up and say, oh, well, we got to look into this. Or the commission on, you know, phase two of the 9/11 inquiry. You know, to what extent did the administration look the other way to a whole lot of things like the Saudis that maybe led to 9/11? Well, we'll have phase two a little later on. Pat Robertson, Senate Intelligence Committee. They get out, they give all this great rhetoric, and then, you know, when the time finally comes, they back right down. They give it to the administration. So that's my prediction. John Warner out saying, we're not gonna give Bush the ability to do this. It wouldn't be the American way after all. But my prediction is they'll give Bush what he wants. We'll see how it moves along. Our quote for the day, by the way, from Abraham Lincoln, I am a firm believer in the people. If given the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis. The great point is to bring them the real facts. Abraham Lincoln. 1-866-440-8466. Our telephone number, toll-free nationwide. Phil in Eureka, listening on KGOE. Hey, Phil, what's on your mind today?
Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I wanted to mention that, you know, you were discussing the idea that people get wealthy and therefore they go crazy or pathological.
Well, that was Armin's suggestion. My suggestion was that people fundamentally don't change regardless of the amount of money that they have, and which is one of the reasons, I think, frankly, that people who think that money is going to make them happy and then get a whole bunch of money suddenly end up being incredibly unhappy because they thought the money was going to change their happiness, and it doesn't. And so they start using that money to do things like get drugs or gamble or go out with prostitutes or what. I mean, they just go nuts with all the things that they think might make them happy, buying big houses and boats and things. None of it makes them happy, and they melt down because, you know, fundamentally people are, in my opinion, they are what they are.
Right, but one critical point is that this fictitious entity known as a corporation that lives forever is pathological. It has one mission, and it's in the law, and the laws state that mission. And therefore, they have spawned all these think tanks that have been in place for many, many years, sitting around writing script, contracts with America, and so forth, feeding them to these kinds of administrations that are perpetuating the type of institutionalized greed that we see today. That it isn't necessarily one individual, although I'm sure a lot of individual wealthy people are funding some of the functions of the Heritage Foundation and so forth. But I think we shouldn't discount the reality of what these think tanks have proffered to this administration.
Yeah, good point. And the biggest point, I think, and the most valid that you make, Phil, is the idea that a corporation, by definition, is a legal expression of a psychopathology, because corporations have as their first mission, and have since the late 1880s, by the way, have as their first mission to make a profit and to grow. And it used to be that in every state in the United States, all the way up until the 1870s, 1880s, in every state in the United States, the law was set up that if you wanted to create a corporation, the first purpose for that corporation's existence had to be to serve the public good. The second purpose had to be to make money or to build a railroad or whatever you wanted to do.
Well, that's long gone.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Gone.
Yeah, and corporations had limited lifespans. They could only operate in one area of commerce. They couldn't control markets. They couldn't form monopolies. They couldn't own stock in other corporations. I mean, there were all these very specific regulations and rules that were circumscribing the behavior of corporations up until.
Right. It would be certainly wonderful if the common man, the common public watching television understood that concept.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, they do not. And I'm one of to believe that Bush and Cheney and these guys are not just creating a script alone, that there's got to be some cabal of fellows in the think tank somewhere that are anticipating and timing things along with Karl Rove that makes this thing move forward.
Yeah.
And obviously it isn't stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you, Phil. Good point. Right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Judy in Dana Point, California on the line. Hey, Judy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. My condolences to you also.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you saw the article in the Wall Street Journal today about them saying that the government gave them, wanted them to print the slip article, and then didn't want, told the Times not to print it, so that's how they slipped out of the Times.
Yeah, to for our listeners who, I read this in the first hour of the program. And,
oh, you
and
did?
Our,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
but that's fine. It's worth repeating. And for our listeners who weren't listening at that time, and you know, a lot of people turn on the radio or get in their car or whatever. This, let me quote verbatim what you're talking about here, Judy. This is from an editorial by the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, in the Wall Street Journal. Quote, some argue that the journal, when they say the journal, they're referring to the Wall Street Journal, some argue that the journal should have still declined to run the anti-terror story. However, at no point did Treasury officials, that would be the U.S. Department of the Treasury, officials tell us not to publish the information. At no point did they tell us not to publish the information. And while journal editors knew the New York Times is about to publish the story, Treasury officials did not tell our editors that they had urged the Times not to publish. What journal editors did know is that they had senior government officials providing news they didn't mind seeing in print. If this was a leak, it was entirely authorized. End of quote from the Wall Street Journal. So the Wall Street Journal was asked to leak this story. The New York Times was asked not to. The New York Times had the good manners to say, we were asked not to publish this, but we decided to anyway. And now the New York Times is being swift-footed.
I know, it's horrible. I can't, well, it's typical.
It's a setup. I mean, this is a setup. This is just like handing Dan Rather a couple of forged documents and saying, yeah, go ahead and do that story. Make my day.
It's just typical. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Judy. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to us. It's 16 minutes. It's just incredible. I don't know how to describe it on that. And what's most incredible to me is that nobody in the media, outside of the Wall Street Journal itself, is talking about the fact that the Wall Street Journal was asked by the Treasury Department to publish this story. 16 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast, and I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Do you have one of those really good jobs in which your pay is automatically raised every single year by nearly $4,000? And the only way your pay hike can be withheld is if you choose not to accept it. You won't find these jobs in the Help Wanted ads, friends. You find them in Congress. Once again, our Congress critters have generously bestowed a pay hike on themselves, raising their total annual take to $168,500 apiece. These are the same people who have refused to raise America's poverty-level minimum wage for 10 years and who have shown no concern for the majority of American working families whose wages have not even kept up with the rising cost of living. This month, House members voted for the 8th year in a row to up their own pay. In a little game of political dodgeball, congressional leaders of both parties run an insider scam that makes their pay raises automatic, unless they magnanimously vote to block it. Guess what? They don't. For 8 straight years, these statesmen have grabbed the money and run. Speaking of running, both parties' leaders have cut a secret Save the Incumbents pact, agreeing that their candidates will not use the pay raise as an issue in the fall elections. And you thought there was no bipartisanship left on Capitol Hill. Members tried to dismiss the pay hikes as a trivial sum, merely enough to keep them ahead of inflation. Over the 8 years of steady raises, however, these cost of living adjustments, as Congress likes to call them, have added a total of $32,000 to their paychecks. That's more than the annual income of most Americans, and it further isolates our Congress critters from the harsh economic reality being faced today by the great majority of people they supposedly represent. This is Jim Hightower saying, shouldn't at least one party be campaigning to bring Congress down to earth, starting with ending this soft cushion of automatic pay raises?
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder. Millions of jobs are being exported. And now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout. America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman. I'm not ready to make a night. I'm not ready to back down. Still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. Probably wouldn't if I could. Cause I'm mad as hell, can't bring myself to do what
Dixie Chicks talking about this George W. 21 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Boy, a lot in the news just breaking right now. North Korea has threatened the United States with nuclear war. They suggest that this missile that they have fueled and are preparing to test might actually be used to deliver a nuclear payload against the United States if we strike them first. Al-Zarqawi, they've found his cell phone and discovered that he had on speed dial in his cell phone, quote, ministry employees and members of parliament inside the Iraqi government. And also now it's coming out that that AT&T was participating with the NSA in spying on Americans before 9/11. Which raises the question, was George W. Bush doing before 9/11 and has since been doing, using the excuse of 9/11, the exact same thing that Richard Nixon was doing, which is using spy agencies to look at Democrats, at the behavior of Democrats, at the behavior of labor unions, at the behavior of the people that these Reichwingers view as their political enemies. Speaking of labor unions, Stuart Acuff, the director of organizing at the AFL-CIO, is with us. We'll be back with your calls in just a few minutes, but I wanted to get Stuart on here and talk about this Kentucky River issue. Stuart, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. The website, by the way, of course, AFLCIO.org. Stuart, tell us, what is the Kentucky River, this collection of labor board cases that the Bush administration is thrashing around? You guys are, well, just give me an overview of this.
Okay, Tom. The immediate threat facing organized labor and working folks all over the country right now is that the labor board is considering to redefine the definition of supervisor from the traditional definition of someone who hires and fires others and can settle grievances for the purpose of whether or not they can be in a union, to a definition of direct the work of others. If this board does what it has in the past at every opportunity, which is, broaden the swath of workers excluded from coverage, then every union RN in America, some 300,000 RN workers,
registered nurses,
right, would lose their any opportunity to be in a union.
This is because every now and then a registered nurse has, as part of their job description, telling another registered nurse what to do or where to do something or when to do something.
Exactly. Or a nursing assistant or an orderly, pick up that bedpan, clean so-and-so's room, whatever.
Right.
But it's not just RNs, because on every union construction site across America, the foremen are union members. On the docks, the gang leaders are union members. The lead men in mines, the loading docks supervisor are in unions. Now, we could lose with one stroke of a decision here by the end of the summer between 300,000 union registered nurses and another 1.5 million lead men, walk-in bosses, gang leaders in other industries. It would affect almost every industry in America. And the problem here is that this is only the latest in a string of decisions that the Bush Labor Board has taken to narrow the scope of the National Labor Relations Act, to exclude workers from coverage by the act, and to deny union membership to as many people as possible.
The National Labor Relations Act, of course, was passed in, as I recall, 1935 by Franklin Roosevelt in order to give workers the protection of unions. And, of course, Limbaugh and all the right... Well, here's Limbaugh on the topic.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
And the unabashedly, this administration and the conservatives are out there trying to destroy labor.
That's right, Tom. The first thing right-wingers of every stripe do when they take power is to weaken trade unions and labor unions as much as possible.
So, Stuart Acuff, we only have a minute or so left here. What can Americans do, whether or not they're members of organized labor, to stop the Bush administration from doing this?
Well, the first thing that all Americans should do is contact your member of Congress, your senator, your congressperson, and ask them to contact the labor board and express their outrage at this decision and also at the fact that this board has refused to hear oral arguments on this question. That's first. And then next week we're going to be doing a week of actions across America at labor boards, at hospitals, at other kinds of appropriate facilities. To express our outrage about this pending decision.
And people can show up and participate in
this. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can go to the AFL-CIO.org and find out if there's an action in your community and how to participate.
Great. AFL-CIO.org. Toll-free number for any member of Congress, 1-888-355-3588. That gets you the switchboard at Capitol Hill. You can simply, and if you're not sure who represents you in the House of Representatives, just give them your zip code, and they'll connect you. And, of course, your two senators, 1-888-355-3588, and more information at AFLCIO.org. Stuart Acuff, Director of Organizing at the AFL-CIO. Stuart, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. You're doing a great job. We all appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You guys are, too. And organized labor is the last great hope for a middle class surviving in the United States. We've got to get on this. 7 minutes past the hour.
This is Veronique Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug? The phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question. Whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. it's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old, and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Northwest Airline flight attendants have less than 2 weeks to negotiate with airline management under threat of a bankruptcy judge's destruction of their labor contracts. The court has granted Northwest the right to destroy the contract, but it put a 14-day stay on the decision. If the union doesn't reach an agreement, Northwest can impose its terms on the union. As Northwest's flight attendants struggle with that, they're also voting on switching their union representation. That voting ends July 6th. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, is seeking to represent the flight attendants, replacing the Professional Flight Attendants Association at Northwest. Pat Friend, AFA-CWA president, says Northwest flight attendants need the resources and experience of her union to get through this difficult time.
Nearly all of the workers at the Port of Oakland are now unionized after more than 200 workers voted in favor of organizing last week. The International Federation of Technical and Professional Engineers will now represent workers who in the past have typically filled the void when other unions at the port have gone on strike. The union represents many employees in management roles at the port. The average salary of the workers joining the union is between $70,000 and $80,000 a year, and they receive full medical benefits. The drive for unionization began more than 6 weeks ago out of concern of a future where non-unionized port workers typically are targeted when it comes time to make budget cuts. Traditionally, union members do not cross the picket lines of other unions, an issue that concerns port management now that nearly all of the port employees are in labor unions.
Nurses at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in New Jersey are trying to win language in their contract that would protect their union rights from an upcoming expected anti-worker NLRB decision. The nurses want to guard against losing their union rights under the Kentucky River decisions. Employers in that case are trying to get the NLRB to exclude many thousands of workers from union protection by expanding the definition of supervisors.
Pilots at UPS have reached a tentative agreement with the package company on a new contract. The tentative agreement comes after 3 years of strike threats and stonewalling. The union is reporting that the agreement includes work rule changes and improvements to wages and pensions that will expire in 2011. In December of 2005, the pilots had requested that the two sides be released from federal mediation so they would be free to strike. That request was refused. More than 2,500 pilots are represented by the Independent Pilots Association at UPS. Here is today's economic report. Consumer confidence took a hit in May as Americans tightened their belts to pay for rising fuel prices. While spending still grew slightly by 0.4%, the Commerce Department said there are signs of cooling. There was also slower growth in the area of income growth, a sign that tends to correspond with weaker job growth.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you're a diabetic, you'll want to listen to this message from the Diabetes Line. If you call us today, you may be able to get your testing supplies delivered right to your door with no out-of-pocket costs. We have all the supplies you'll ever need, and getting those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your door is as easy as calling this number. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. If you have Medicare or private insurance, you might be able to get those diabetic testing supplies delivered right to your home with no out-of-pocket costs. We even file all the claim forms so you never have to wait for those reimbursement checks. If you're a diabetic and you want testing supplies delivered right to your door, call the Diabetes Line 24 hours a day. 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's good to be king, just for a while. To be there in velvet, yeah, to give them a smile. It's good to get high and never come down. It's good to be king of your own little town.
Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. I'm not sure I would agree with those sentiments. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi had the phone numbers of senior Iraqi officials stored in his cell phone, according to an Iraqi legislator. I shared this with you a little bit earlier. It turns out it's only half the story. The authorities today said that they had found the numbers on his cell phone and that the numbers included ministry employees and members of parliament. Now the other, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Meanwhile, al-Zarqawi's wife told an Italian newspaper that al-Qaeda leaders had sold him out to the United States in exchange for a promise to let up in the search for Osama bin Laden. We'll stop going after that nasty guy from Saudi Arabia, because after all, Bush's love all things Saudi. We'll stop going after Osama bin Laden if you give us Zarqawi. And she says that that's exactly what happened. That al-Qaeda's leadership, top leadership, reached a deal with U.S. intelligence because al-Zarqawi had become too powerful. She claims Sunni tribes and Jordanian secret services mediated the deal. In the interview published Sunday in the Italian newspaper, she said, my husband has been sold to the Americans. He had become too powerful, too troublesome. Pretty amazing. And on it goes. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. Todd in Fort Lewis, Washington. Hey, Todd, what's on your mind today?
Hey, North Korea is going to throw nuclear at us if we strike against them, because they have a fueled-up missile that they're going to test that could reach us here in Washington, Oregon, Alaska. And I was curious if what you think we should be doing about Kim Jong-il and North Korea.
I think what we should be doing is what we should have been doing starting 5 years ago, which is what Clinton was doing, which is engage the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last time Kim Jong-il was making noises like this, Bill Clinton got on it, you know, and I don't recall if it was Madeleine Albright or somebody else, you know, went over to and started talking to the North Koreans and said, okay, fine, let's work this stuff out. And we ended up, you know, we cut a deal with them. We sealed up their nuclear reactors. We sealed up their nuclear programs. We put cameras on them. We were continuously monitoring them. They had international inspectors in there. Everything was fine. And then Bush comes along and starts calling this guy names, starts throwing insults at a guy who's a nut. I mean, it's like going to the local village psychotic and screaming at him. What do you expect? You're going to get a psychotic reaction.
True.
And the Bush administration should be doing. By the way, I don't mean to say that Kim Jong-il is totally nuts. He's only partially nuts. He's, you know, in some ways he's crazy like a fox. And, I mean, you know, he wants to make sure that he's not going to be taken out of power or whatever. I mean, if he really represents a threat to the United States, we should be having conversations with him and working this thing out. And, frankly, if we could have conversations with North Korea and we could even create an opening to North Korea, which is what they were talking about in the last year of the Clinton administration, if you'll recall. Uh-huh. We were talking about the possibility of South Korean companies actually doing business in North Korea and opening up North Korea. Then look at what would happen. It would be the same thing as what happened in East Germany when, you know, they started watching West German television, and pretty soon there wasn't any more East Germany.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm convinced that the best way to spread democracy is not to say, be like us or we'll blow your brains out. Best way to spread democracy is to say, hey, join the club. Come on in. Hang out with us. And you know, that's not the way. You know, but Bush needed an enemy for political purposes. He needed a bad guy. And
right.
And when his speechwriter, the guy that just retired, what was it, David Safavian? No, it was, I'm forgetting the guy's name. In any case, his speechwriter who coined this phrase, Axis of Evil. I mean, this guy came up with this phrase and tossed it into the speech 2 days before the speech was given because it was a nice rhetorical flourish. That nice rhetorical flourish has led to a world crisis. And the Bush administration, I think, you know, should be absolutely held responsible for it. So that's my take on it, Todd. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it. Craig in Linwood, Washington on the line. Hey, Craig, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how are we doing today?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up?
My condolences for your father, because I think he created just a wonderful human being. And
he created four of us,
all the credit due to him.
Yeah, thank you. I am one of four boys, my three brothers are all
fine. Now, where do you compare in that?
I think that frankly, I'm biased, but I think the entire family is pretty good, but...
Well, then there you go.
Yeah, I shouldn't be patting myself on the back like this.
I'm calling is the other day you inspired me to do something, which is take my little computer here and print out a copy of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights, because it's something that I really didn't have the knowledge of I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And by your reading it and comparing some of the stuff of the Bush administration to the Declaration of Independence, I think it's something that everybody should do, is print out a copy, sit down and make their own reasoning of things that have been done to us as to that compare to why we seceded the first place.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, even the Constitution, people think, the Constitution, it's going to, you can read the Constitution in 25 minutes. These are not large documents, but certainly the Declaration of Independence.
Well, I got to tell you, on the Constitution, some of that, there's a little bit of the legal speak that gets over me.
Yeah, there are places where it's a little dense, but you can skip through them. I mean, the main thing with the Constitution is to understand that there are seven major points that are made in the preamble to the Constitution and that had to do with the founders' vision of how America should be organized and what our values should be. And the fact that Article 1 of the Constitution, the first part of the Constitution, lays out the responsibilities and powers of Congress. That's the first branch of government, because that's the one that's closest to the people and gets reelected every 2 years, or the House of Representatives, half of Congress. And the second article of the Constitution lays out the powers, responsibilities, limits of powers on the president. And the third branch, or the third article of the Constitution, is about the judiciary, the third branch of government. And it's really a pretty straightforward document. And then you read the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And this, I remember back during the Vietnam War, during the late 60s, early 70s, I forget when it was, but it was back when I was active in the anti-war movement. There was my recollection is it was one of the big newspapers, but I might be exaggerating it in memory, that it was the New York Times or something. But somebody went out with a copy of the Declaration of Independence and asked on street corners and asked Americans if they would be willing to sign it, not telling them that it was the Declaration of Independence. And when they said no, said, why not? And the majority of Americans refused to sign the Declaration of Independence. And again, this is, 30-year-old memory, but many of them made the comment that this reads like this is a communist manifesto, or, this must be by Karl Marx and those kinds of things. And Americans are just tragically ignorant of the history of their own country and of the, what's contained in our founding documents.
Well, Tom, the thing that gets me is I'm afraid that if we all sat down, wrote what we believe are the things that the Bush administration has done against the, similar to the Declaration of Independence, and all sent it in to our senators and our congressmen,
mm-hmm.
there'd be somebody knocking on our door for sedition.
Well, that's certainly what the Bush administration wants to take us back to.
And I mean, that's the problem that so many of us have. There's so many things that I'd like to do, but, as a single working man, I don't get a whole lot of free time to get out and do a lot of these things, and I'm afraid if I speak out too loudly, I'll have somebody at my door trying to cause trouble, making it hard for me to make a living.
Well, then they've
done a wonderful job at that.
If you're that fearful, Craig, they have already won, and I would suggest that you throw off that fear. It is.
Well, I'm trying, but let me tell you, because they hold so much over you, and then with you and Randy Rose and all these other people, I've started reading so many things, and the more stuff I read, the more it just puts a knot in my chest of what's going on around us.
Yeah, it truly is a tragedy. But, Craig, if we don't stand up and speak out, then ultimately we're all going to end up with one of those Pastor Niemöller moments, where he said, I did not object when they took off the unionists because I wasn't a unionist, and I did not object when they hauled off the Jews because I was not a Jew, and I did not object when they took, and he goes through the list, then he finally says, and then they came for me, and there was no one left to stand for me.
I want to stand on a bridge with a sign that says, please don't be a good German.
Yeah. Well, then do it. but at the very least, I mean, get involved with, you know, for example, just your local Democratic Party. Find a candidate. Find somebody else who is willing to speak out. I mean, you're there in Washington State. You've got some excellent candidates. You've got some good Democrats who speak out loudly, particularly in the House of Representatives. And help them out. Volunteer. Go door to door. Knock on doors. Show up at party meetings. Or if the Democratic Party isn't to your liking, join the Green Party. Or for that matter, if you have a background as a Republican, join the Republican Party. We need to have Americans of good faith engaged in our political process.
Well, anyway, the point is, I'd like to thank you for inspiring all of us to at least, you know, give it some thought. And I'm really trying to get to that point.
You're welcome. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it.
Until next time, my good man, may the world treat you well.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know, step one is making a call like that. I mean, in fact, I would encourage you, Craig, to call other talk shows, particularly ones, well, the problem with the conservative talk shows is usually they have, you know, screeners, they have filters, and they don't let calls through. It's really a shame. And unless you sound like you're drunk or incoherent and something, then they put them on and say, oh, it's a liberal. And like that. But speaking out, we all need to be speaking out. We need to be speaking out to our friends. We need to be speaking out to our family. We need to be speaking out to people with whom we work. We must be speaking out. We'll be back with your calls and more right after this. Our number, 866-440-8466. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, telling the truth that multinational corporations would really rather you didn't know.
Charlie Pickett here for Amgro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amgro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amgro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amgro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
Country singers Bruce Robeson and Kelly Willis.
We had a gig in half an hour.
But with my allergies, I wasn't all there. I just couldn't sing.
I told her, you need Claritin D.
So I got Claritin Clear. Claritin D relieved my worst symptoms, even congestion and sinus pressure, fast. And I wasn't drowsy.
Told you, nothing works stronger, faster, or longer.
Find Claritin D on shelf or at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed among non-drowsy oral 24-hour OTC allergy products.
Live Claritin Clear.
Some efforts to breed fish might turn out new generations that are vulnerable to disease. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Government agencies raise a lot of fish in hatcheries that will be released later into the wild. If they don't pay close attention to the genetic makeup of the parent generation, the younger ones might have difficulty surviving and reproducing. Tony Goldberg is a research veterinarian at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He says wild fish often have genetic qualities that give them special advantages in specific bodies of water. Hatcheries often breed fish that come from different places, and Goldberg says mixing up the genetic pools can compromise the survival of the young.
Wild fish, even though they may look the same across broad geographic areas, can be very adapted to their local conditions. A fish from one river system or one lake system may be uniquely adapted to that river and that lake and the ecological conditions there. And if it's then brought into captivity and the progeny of those fish are released somewhere else, then the genes that they bring with them may not be optimal for the new environment.
Goldberg says interbreeding can compromise the offspring. The young fish might have more trouble than native fish surviving in the wild, and they also might be more vulnerable to disease. Goldberg says interbreeding also can weaken the immune system of the offspring.
And because the immune system is such a wonderfully complex system, disrupting the genes in that system, even a little bit, might have far-reaching effects on the ability of an animal to fend off infection.
Goldberg says hatcheries would do well to pay more attention to the origins and genetic makeup of the fish they choose as parents to improve the survival of their offspring. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
If you're considering a loan or bankruptcy to get out of debt, it's time for you to stop.
and think about how your decision will affect your finances and your credit rating. Before you do anything, talk to the experts at Trinity First. They'll provide you with a free debt analysis and a proven plan to get you out of debt.
We owe thousands in credit card debt. Those past due notices were piling up, and the collection calls were getting ugly.
Trinity looked at our situation and put us on a plan.
We started saving money, and we stopped dodging phone calls.
Trinity gave us one monthly payment we can handle.
They reduced our interest, so over time, we saved thousands.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity.
We did. Now we're debt-free for keeps.
Trinity!
Call the experts at Trinity for your free debt analysis at 800-936-7649. That's 800-936-7649. Call now, 800-936-7649.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Indeed we do, my friends. Welcome back to the place where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no, not a chance. 9 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. 1-866-440-8466. Our telephone number, toll-free all across the United States. Jim in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening to WPTT. Hey, Jim.
Tom, it's really disgusting. I heard on the news just this morning that we're going to give the Afghan government over $2 billion worth of Humvees, helmets, vests, bulletproof vests, and all. Couldn't we be hiring Americans with that $2 billion somewhere in this country, like on the borders? You know, to check them there, because another part of that news, it showed a man that he put a backpack on with fake explosives just to prove a point, and he went all the way into central United States without giving them, you know, being caught. He gave himself up and, you know, says that this way.
Jim,
which brings to mind,
Jim,
if this border is really this open, which we know it is, that they could come across.
Yeah.
Jim,
calm down. First of all, with regard to the border, the only place in North America where we have ever found Islamic terrorists who were actually planning attacks were in A, the United States of America. These are people who came in legally on visas, who, you know, piloted the planes on 9/11, at least according to the official evidence, and two, in Canada. So, you know, if you want to start talking about we need to build fences for terrorist purposes, maybe, you know, it doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. It's silly. What we need to do is behave in the world in such a way that we don't have people wanting to blow us up. I mean, I realize it sounds simplistic, but there actually is a very, very powerful and fundamental truth to it. It's the reason why we were able to operate as we did with open borders for 200 years. And with regard to, you know, whether or not we should be giving money to Afghanistan and for what, you know, there is some truth to what Colin Powell said about the Pottery Barn rules. You broke it. You own it. We invaded Afghanistan. I realize all but one, I believe, I could be wrong on this, but I believe all but one member of the Senate, all but one person voted in favor of the invasion of Afghanistan. It was a completely different thing than the invasion of Iraq. But nonetheless, there we are. We invaded Afghanistan. We had a successful war against the Taliban. Now we're losing the occupation there, just like we're losing the occupation of Iraq, the Bush administration screwing it up again. And handing more and more money off to their buddies, but there's not a if then between doing something with the Afghan government and whether or not we should, you know, be building a bridge in Seattle or in St. Louis or something. Bobby in Tacoma, Washington. Speaking of Seattle, hey Bobby.
Hey, what's up? You're better than a great American. You're a real American.
Well, thank you, Bobby. You too. What's up?
And well, I heard David Susskind this weekend on C-SPAN talking about his book, The 1% Doctrine.
Yes.
And he mentions the CIA briefer who gave George Bush the bulletin about Osama bin Laden determined the strike in America.
Right, and Bush said, now you've covered your butt, you can go off and, you know,
yeah,
do something else.
Yeah, he intimidated the briefer and put him, knocked him down a notch and...
patted him on the head and sent him away.
Yeah, and but he also mentioned, David Susskind also mentions that this briefer was being told by his contacts in the Middle East that something was going to happen.
Sure.
Right? It wasn't just the CIA. And,
well, according to the 9/11 Commission, the Bush administration received over 50 specific warnings, which included warnings about the hijacking of aircraft, which included warnings about New York City and Washington, D.C.,
right,
which included warnings about Al-Qaeda, and ignored all of them.
Right,
Bush went on the longest vacation in the history of the presidency, and then after that refused to go back to Washington, D.C. Cheney, you know, got his bunker outfitted. Cheney was supposed to be chairing a task force on counterterrorism. It was a job he was given in January when the Supreme Court installed Bush and Cheney in power, and it didn't meet until
right.
September of 2001.
But the point I wanted to make was, there's David Susskind. I just finished Bob Baer's book, See No Evil, and he mentions a military officer in the Gulf saying something spectacular is going to happen.
Right.
Right? Another source, these people who put out something called Disinformation TV,
mm-hmm.
and they had a report about people around the world saying something's going to happen.
Russian intelligence had told us that 9/11 was going to happen or something close to it. Israeli intelligence was telling us that there's something going on. Jordanian intelligence was telling us something was going on. I mean, yes, it is not. The Bush administration was either asleep at the switch or was pretending to be asleep at the switch. And I think a very strong case can be made, and this is one of the reasons why I think they've been so aggressive in stealing all these elections,
yeah.
because they don't want anybody asking these questions with subpoena power. A very strong case can be made that the Bush administration allowed 9/11 to happen, and I think it's an absolute
yeah.
disaster
and
tragedy. Bobby, I got to move along. Thanks for the call. John in Brookings, Oregon. Hey, John, we have 1 minute. What's up?
Hi. These people that are scared about the nuclear missiles or missile in North Korea, I think, are crazy, just like Barbara Boxer of California. They don't understand the power of our military.
Yeah, I don't think that North Korea represents a threat to us as much as it represents a threat to South Korea and Japan.
Yes, of course.
I mean, there you want a real problem. I mean, what the North Koreans, if they really want to create chaos, all they have to do is come across the, what is it, 38th parallel? And boom, you've got a real serious problem.
All China is basically a province, North Korea is just basically a province of China. So, it wouldn't look good if China was testing these missiles, but they let their province do it.
Yeah,
just
well,
to show
that's
muscle over there.
You know, John, if you look back at the history of the Korean War, you know, I mean, it was the Chinese that we came up against, not the North Koreans, who finally repelled, I believe it was MacArthur. And so, you know, I think you could probably make that argument. Coming up in the next Tom Hartman program tomorrow, live, we'll be here on July 4th. Greg Palast is going to be claiming right-wingers are stealing the election in Mexico, Florida style. Also, why did our founding fathers pick the coat of arms, and why does the pyramid and eye appear on the dollar bill? That and more on, and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman program tomorrow, live on the 4th of July. Remember, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it!
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.